Okay, this week's Parsha's Tetzaveh is fundamentally about the Bigdei Kahuna, the clothing that the Kohanim would wear, both the Kohen Hedjot, the Kohen Gadol, and the Pasuk says, Vasisa Bigdei Kodesh Laron Achicha LeKavod LeTiferes. You should make the Bigdim, the clothing for Aaron, for Kavod and splendor, for respect and splendor. So, and then it lists out the typical Bigdim clothing of the Kohen Gadol. There were eight of them, and the list includes the avnet. Avnet is a sash. Gotcha. Is a sash, and the Rashbam points out that these were one of the pieces of clothing that were cover litifars. It was meant to be the splendor of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen really brought out the Begadim, really brought out that splendor. So the Gemara Mizvachim discusses how important the Begadim, the clothing, were. That if you had two on, for example, he gives an example, if you have two belts on, or if you have two michnasayim, two of the pants on, or whatever it is, it's puzzled. The avoda that was done by the Kohen is not kosher, and if the clothing is tattered, and the clothing is filthy, that in of itself makes the avoda to be puzzled. Why? Because it has to be lekavod ulitifaris. It has to be respectable, dignified, and splendored. And if you're not, if the clothing isn't fitting correctly, if the clothing is really tattered, torn, etc., filthy, that is no longer the kavod l'tifaras, that the avoda would no longer be kosher. A contemporary concept.
Midovad.
So a contemporary parallel that we have to that is the wearing of clothing during our tefillah, and what we're going to talk about in particular, just like the avnet, the ezor, the belt, the sash of the kohen, we're going to talk about in particular the gartel.
Before you go to that, I mean, how do they avoid doing blood work and cutting up the stuff and dealing with meat and grease? How could they not get dirty?
And you change. You have to change it. You have to clean it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about the contemporary concept of wearing a gartel. We'll talk about belts and pants for because that's all related to the concept. And ultimately, we're going to talk about, is there an obligation, is there a mitzvah, or is it a non-issue to have a gartel when we daven? As we know,
it's just unique to the
Big Day Kahuna. Or it's unique
and
to the Big Day Kahuna, and we can't. Could be. Could be. Okay, now there is a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos that talks about that you need, and we're going to get to it a little bit, that there is a concept, possibly a chiyuv, of having a gartel. We're going to use, it's not, they don't use the word the gartel. Lachgor chagor b'shas tefila. So we will, Amir Tzashem, be getting to that. So before we talk about, I'm just going to use the term loosely gartel, but we're really talking about a sash of some sort for purposes of tefila. We're going to talk about a related concept of, can somebody say Kriya Shema when is libo roa esayerva, when there is no distinction, material, physical barrier between the lev, the heart, and the erva, and the underbody, the parts that should be covered. And that's a discussion in the Gemara. We're on bottom right, second paragraph of where it says, B'gemara b'brachos, chavdalan amabes nechleku ha'im ha'kore kriya Shema muta likra kishe libo roa esayerva. When somebody's saying Kriya Shema, is it permitted if his lev is roa esayerv? In other words, if he does not have a physical barrier, for example, he's not wearing underpants, that acts as a barrier, doesn't have a pair of pants on, doesn't have a pair of shorts on, whatever it is, doesn't act as a barrier between the lev and the erva. So it's actually, he's wearing a...
Or a hospital gown.
No, or a hospital gown, something like that. Is that acceptable? So it's a machlokas in the Gemara. If you're wearing the nightgown, you're wearing a hospital gown, and there's no break, there's no belt in it, are you permitted to say the Kriya Shema? So the Shitas Tanakama, Lirua, Roasa, Erbamut, according to the Tanakama, it's not a problem. According to the Yesh Omrim there, it's a problem. You can't say Kriya Shema without having a physical barrier to divide up between the other upper body and the lower body. And we pass it in Shulchan Aruch that we are machmir. Somebody is required, everyone is required to have a break between the upper body and lower body to say Kriya Shema, otherwise it cannot be said. That's how we pass it. So we're starting with Kriya Shema. We're starting with Kriya Shema, and then we're going to build on it. So
you're saying in your underpants, for example,
that would be a physical barrier. Yes, that would be sufficient for libo roes erba. So our next concept then, the same thing would apply for tefillah. We're not going to say about other brachas yet, but we'll the same thing would apply for tefillah, for davening Yishmona Esrei, that you need to have a barrier for between the lev and the erva. So the question that we have to fundamentally answer then, because all of us wear underpants, pants, trousers, a belt. We're all wearing that. Even if we don't have the belt, but we have an elastic to keep the pants up, whatever it is that sufficient? Because we have our lev is not roes erva, the upper body. We have a demarcation between the upper body and the lower body. Is that sufficient? Or when we talk about a gartel, does it require something additional? That is fundamentally our question that we have to deal with. Is it the same din, or do we have two dinim? This is the two dinim would be, we need something to divide up if it's a physical barrier. And in addition to that, we need a different type of item that will act for a different purpose as a girdle for purposes of davening. That's the question that we have to grapple with. So, Shinun Ches on the left side, towards the top of the page where it says Bigamora. So, Bigamora B'Shab is Tessa M'Beis B'Mishna Muva. Everyone have it there? Shinun Ches, left side, towards the top of the page. So there's a Mishnah in Shabbos that says as follows. Gemara in Shabbos, Lo yeshav adam lifnei asapar sa'adam uchla mincha. You're not permitted to do certain activities before the time of mincha. And samach means within a half an hour of mincha. So if mincha is at 12:30, zman mincha gadol is at 12:30, you can't start any of these activities even a half hour before. But from 12 o'clock, we have a blackout. And the concern of the Mishnah is if you start an activity that's going to take a little bit of time, you may get drawn into it and you may forget about davening mincha. So one example is don't go and get a haircut at that time. Don't do it. You may get drawn in. Shema yishkach v'lo yispal v'ha afilu b'chol nami. So this is, we're five lines down in that paragraph. So one, don't take a haircut. Lo yikanes adam l'merchatz. Don't go into the shvitz. Enjoyable. You may drag out, be in the gym for a long time, v'lo b'laborski, the tannery, v'lo le'echol, don't go have a meal, a full meal, v'lo ladin, and don't go act as a judge, don't be involved in a beis din. However, if somebody violated the halacha and did start any of these activities, as long as there's going to be time to daven mincha afterwards, we're not talking that you're starting right before, so he's not going to have time. As long as there's time to start mincha afterwards, you can continue in the activity. You shouldn't have started. You shouldn't have sat down to that meal. But if you did, it's permitted to finish the activity and then daven mincha afterwards. So next paragraph down, the Gemara asks as follows. The Gemara Sham, with the Kaman Yoram Lav Muva Me'emasai Hatchala Sachila. So you said you're not allowed to start a meal within a half an hour of the Zman of Mincha. You can't have the meal. Well, what does that mean that you started a meal? You can't start a meal. That if you started it already, you can complete it, but you shouldn't have started it. What's the beginning of a eating? So this is a machlokas apparently. Rav Amar Mishitol Yitol Yadav. When you wash your hands and Tilas Yadayim, that is considered a meal. You shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have done the Tilas Yadayim, but if you did, you can continue. Rabbi Chanina Amar Mishiatir Chagora. Once you have taken your belt off, that is the beginning of the meal. You took your belt off. You're going to sit back, enjoy yourself, take the belt off. That you need to take a belt off, right? They did it at the beginning, right? Once you take them, I'm good. They're very optimistic going in. This is going to be a very successful meal. So they would take their now. So the Gemara says something interesting, and you find this phrase in a few places in Shas. It says halan v'halahu. It's not a machlokas between the two. This is for Yerushalayim, and this is for Babel. In other words, in Yerushalayim and Babel, they had different starts of the meal. Why? Because they had different minhagim relating to the meal, but not really. They had different minhagim in how they dressed, is what the Gemara is saying. In Babel, they used to wear tightly fitting clothing, so they had to remove the belt in order to start the meal process. So in order to start a meal, they used to take off the belt. In Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have that. They didn't used to take off their belts at the beginning of the meal. So the official meal beginning in Eretz Yisrael was when they washed until Tilas Yadayim. Now we're going to get to the important part for us. So the Gemara, next paragraph down, Amar Abai.
The meal is a motzi, not a mezonos. I can have cake and coffee and not a mezonos. I have a mezonos. We're talking
of a Suda. Amar Abaye. Next paragraph down. Hani chevrin bavloi. Our dear friends in Bavel. That put, take off the belts. They have these belts. They take the belts off when they're eating. Leman dam art filas arvis reshus. There's a machlokas in the Gemara. Is arvis, is mariv an obligation or not? We're not going to get into that right now. But according to the opinion that mariv is volitional, not required, kaven dashara lehamayne, once they have taken off their belt, lo mitarchinan le lachsor v'lach kol nisbala. We don't, aren't matriach. We're not going to burden them to go and put their belts back on, and to daven. In other words, once they've taken the belt off, fine, finish eating, daven mincha afterward. Okay, because that's in Bavel, that's what they do. Oh. So the Gemara asks two questions. Question number one, trechusa lemeser hamayne, what's the big deal? What's the big tircha? What's the big bother in putting the belt on? You took it off, just put the belt on. It's no big deal to put a belt on. They took it off, put it back on and daven. Question number one. Question number two is, Leiko hachi velitzle, and what do you need to put the belt on at all for, daven without a belt?
Well, that's a good question.
What do you need it for? So the Gemara answers as follows, you need to have a belt for purposes of davening. Why? Because there's a pasuk that says, Hikon likras elokecha Yisrael. What's Hikon? Hachana, prepare to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and part of the proper hachana, part of the proper preparation for davening, having proper clothing, including having a belt on for davening.
So
that is what the Gemara says.
If that was so prevalent, they wore belts. What was the Havamin in the Gemara?
That's what?
That, why do you need the belt for? What, is it such a tier?
What's the Havamin of the question in the Gemara?
Yeah,
you know, it's interesting. There were two questions that were asked. Number one, what's the big tircha? Number two, why do you need a belt? Kapshuto, the Gemara only answered the second question. Kapshuto, the only. Why do you need a belt?
But didn't know why you need a belt? If that was such a permanent feature of davening before the Gemara asked the question.
We're going to get into it a little bit. I wasn't going to answer it, ask it like that, but we'll get into it a little bit. Because maybe it wasn't Shulpasha. But it's interesting. I think I saw, I wasn't going to do it, but we mentioned it, that it only answers the second question, right? What's the big tircha to put on the belt, and what do you need a belt with it for anyway? Oh, you need a belt because he called me because of Kalech Zerah. That's the proper way to daven. You need a belt on for davening. How about the first question? What's the big tircha? So I saw an explanation, a beautiful explanation. Says it's answering both. How's it answering both? Because once you're required to have once you're required to have a belt, that's a tircha. I'm required to do it. Okay. Anything I'm required to do, that makes it a tircha for me.
Mitzuva
v'ose. It's a nice answer. Okay, so why would we need a belt? Why would we need a belt? So the Gemara gave one answer, and that's actually how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Shin Nun Tes, bottom right, two lines from the bottom. Shin Nun Tes, bottom right, two lines from the bottom. In the middle, Tzarech, Lazor, Ezer, Besash, Tfila. You are obligated to have a belt for Shmona Esrei, Afilu, Yesh, Lo, Avnei. Even though you have a avnet, you need an azor. There's a difference between an azor and an avnet. What's the difference? An avnet is a regular belt. An azor is a special gartel, which we would refer to it as a gartel, for davening nowadays. They're different entities. Why do we need the azor? Why isn't it not enough to have the avnet? Mishum, top left. Mishum hikon. The pasuk says you need to prepare. Part of the proper preparation is having a gartel on, having an azor on. Abal shar brachos mutar levarach b'lo chagora. But the rest of the brachos, it is sufficient without a chagora. In other words, without the second belt is sufficient. Ma'achar sheyesh lo michnasayim. That answers your question from before. That it's as long as you have a division between the concept of libor roesa erva, the prohibition also applies to other brachas. It's not, now we're saying it's not only kriyat shema, it's not only davening, but it's all brachas. We need the barrier between the lev and the erva. However, when it comes to the din of hikon, having the second belt, the gartel, the azor, that only applies to Shemon Esrei. It does not apply to other brachas, and it does not apply to Kriyat Shema, because the din of Hikon, preparing to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the din in Shemon Esrei, not Tefillah. Din in Shemon Esrei, it's not a din even in Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema is Kabbalah Sohomachu Shamayim. Din of Hikon, Likras, when are we greeting? When are we walking towards the person of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's the Shemon Esrei, the din of gartel. The second belt, the outer belt, applies to Shmona Esrei.
I understand that Hikon means belt. How do we know that
That's what the Gemara says. It's part, you know what? It's not only a belt. It's lav dafka belt. It includes also a belt. Hikon is a general concept of preparation, and according to the Babylonians, that includes.
Maybe you had it, maybe you checked.
Yes.
Maybe
yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's a global, but here the Gemara says it's also inclusive. Now, is that only in Babel or not? We have to see. Okay, so next. The Shulchan Aruch Harav says, the Ba'inan, I'll just read it outside. The Ba'inan Ezor Dafka Kishula Malami Begadav. This is the difference. What's the difference between an Ezor and a regular chagora, a regular avne? The ezor is outside the clothing. Why? Tzilusa d'Avram explains that the avneit ein bo chashivus. Avneit, a regular belt in your pants, that has no chashivus. That's not a beautification of hikon for your davening. That's just a functional item. The ezor yesh bo chashivus. When we say hikon, we need something that has distinction, that has importance. And that's what an outer garment does. It has importance, and that's what we need for davening. So reason number one, we would need a gartel, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it's required, is for hikon, and it has to be an external garment. That's number one. Number two, the levush says, would not be sufficient based on that. You need two, double layer, double head covering, double layer on the belt. So, and interesting, which two? We have a brach of mal bisharumin. Babisharumim is bracha and putting on clothing. Which are the two exceptions that have their own? Two pieces of clothing have their own brachas. Is on Ozer Yisrael Bigvura is on the belt of the Gvora that girds us with strength is the belt. And Oter Yisrael B'Sifara is the head covering. So we have two special pieces of clothing that are for Klal Yisrael. It's a big discussion.
The shoes also have the unbuckle.
What?
Just records of key.
You don't know
the shoes. The shoes
are if that's a beggar. Okay, so reason number one.
So I don't miss the whole shear. Haroa es ha'erva. What's the erva? What are you
throwing?
I got it.
It means it's a term that the lev is raw, that you don't have a physical barrier between your heart, the upper body, and the lower body. That's D number one. That applies for Kriyat Shema that you have to have underpants on. Yeah, you can't be wearing a robe that doesn't have a belt in it. You need a distinction between the lower body and the upper body. That's another D. But it's not sufficient, is what we're saying. Thank you. It's not enough to be covered. You need the distinction between the upper body and the lower body. Okay, so reason number two to have a gartel is brought by the Levush, that somebody who has this outer gartel has an appearance of alacrity, zrizus. Gives it a different appearance. And we can understand the hikon then. That's a proper preparation, is how do we appear outwardly. And then part of the zrizus, the appearance of zrizus, is having the gartel. That's number two.
The levush is what I get with my dress.
And number three, they say, why did he name his svarim the levush? Yeah. So there was a story about the levush that a woman was attracted to him, had him over and locked him in and started attacking him. And the only way that he could get out was crawling through the sewers. And all of his clothing was ruined in that. And in the tremendous schus of his running away from that attraction that he could have participated in, but he ran out and went through the sewers and it got all filthy, he was zochet to write 10 svarim, and they're all called the levush something, based on the clothing.
The 11th generation, when it was in yeshiva, and the boy was in yeshiva and was very tall and handsome. And the levush was tall and handsome, that was the point. And then we prayed in the sense of that, besides the 10... And the svarim that he wrote, that for 10 generations the offspring should be okay. Kind of men that attract women. And what happened is, this boy was in yeshiva, and his father came to visit the yeshiva, and his father was short, and he was tall. So they asked him, what's the story? So he was the father was the 10th generation, and he was the 11th generation.
Very good. Okay, so that's reason number two. Reason number one is hikon. Reason number two is the appearance of zrizus. And reason number three is just like the Kohanim, when they did the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, they wore the gartel. So too, when we have our avodah, the Shemoneh Esrei, we also wear our garza. Fantastic question. That we have, at least we have a yarmulke, we have a hat, maybe. And achinami. That's why it's the third reason. That's why it's the third reason, not the first and the second reason. Okay, so back to our question then. We've been kind of in going in the direction of saying that it seems to be that there are two dinim here. Liba, Roas, and Erba, there's a problem that you need some physical barrier between the upper body and the lower body. And in addition to that, we need something for splendor, an outer sash, an outer gartel. So we're on Shin Samech, bottom right. The Mordechai says as follows. It is 3, 6, 9 lines from the bottom right. The Mordechai says as follows. V'yesh limod mitkan. He goes back to our Gemara and Shabbos. Talking about the Babylonians, that daven without a belt. Oh, no, you need a belt, because of Hikon. Shetzarich lachkor ritzuaso kodim shispalo. From here we learn that you need to have your ritzua, you have to put on a belt, a proper belt, a gartel, before davening. Afal pi sheyesh lo avnei b'michnasayim, even though you have your regular belt in your pants, vein libo roas erava, even though you have a physical barrier between the upper body and lower body, we have an extra din of Hikon Nikras Elokecha Yisrael. Where do we learn that from? We learn that from the Babylonians, because they took off their belts before the davening, before their eating, but they still had to say brachas. They still had to say Netilas Yadayim, they still had to say Amotzi. It must be then, because we paskin, says the Bach, that even for regular brachas, Libo Ruesa Erva is a problem. So it must be that when they took off their belt, and we're talking in the Gemara, yeah, took off your belt, oh, you have to put it back on for purposes of davening. They had a second belt underneath that they needed, because otherwise they couldn't say their brachas, they couldn't say Birkas Hamazon.
They lying down, so maybe the...
No, but they still needed what? So you get it on the top? That you're
like,
sitting
like
on
this,
a couch?
Like this,
that they would hold themselves every time? So the Bach says that we learn from the Gemara. The whole discussion of putting back the belt on was the second belt, the gartel, the davening belt, and obviously they had another belt underneath. What do we learn from this? We learn from this that hikon is a din, the gartel is a din in addition to the regular belt. You need two belts. We have one belt for the divisor between the upper body and lower body, and we have a second is the quote-unquote gartel for purposes of hikon. That is opinion number one. Opinion number two. We're on Shin Samach Aleph, says as follows. Shin Samach Aleph, right side of the page, where it says, V'hosif Tosfos. So we have the second view now, that the second belt is the same as the first belt. There's only one belt. One belt, and that's it. And it fulfills both purposes. V'hosif Tosfos, T'b'machzor Vitri Mefarish Da'atam, T'ba'in an Ezor. Why do we need an Ezor? A fancy belt? Hu Kadesh Lo Yehe, Libo Roas Erva. No, it's for the same purpose. The reason why we need the quote-unquote, an Azor is not because of Hikon, it's to have a division between the upper body and lower body. It was only for the Babylonians that didn't have pants because they wore robes. They wore whatever they call it. That's why they had to have a Azor, a belt, for davening. Avalididan, not us. We have belts in our pants. We don't need an azor. We don't need a gartel. Because why? We already have the barrier between the upper body and the lower body. But then we have the question then. So the Babylonians, what were they doing to say brachas then? They took what? They only had one belt that they took off. How about when they took the belt off and were saying that they had a long robe?
They held it solely by Krishma.
So they paskin, very good. They paskin as follows, that for purposes of other brachas, you don't have a problem of libo, ro, es, erba.
And there's even one day we said brachas that says that it's...
For Kriya Shema, even for Kriya Shema.
For Krishma, you don't need it.
So that's how they explain. So according to the first opinion we brought, we have two different belts. We have a belt for Libor Oes Erba, we have a second belt for Hikon for proper davening. According to the Tosfos and Machzor Vitri, no. The purpose of the Azor is so we have a barrier between the Lev and the Erva. We don't need two belts at all. It's one belt serves both purposes. Next, Shita number three is the Rush. He says it's a mitzvah In other words, it's not a chova. The first shita that we brought was it's an obligation to have two belts. The second shita was you only need one belt. There's no concept of having a second belt. And the third shita is not that it's an obligation to have the second belt. The first belt is required. But the second belt, the gartol, is a mitzvah lechatchila to have it, but obviously it's not me'akev. Okay, so... He says that the lashon of the Hagos Beis Baruch ain ze isra ela mitzvah lechatchila. Mitzvah lechatchila. The imein lo chagora mutar lispala lechani. If you don't have it, okay, it's fine. It's also lechatchila, but it's a mitzvah lechatchila to have it. Okay, now how do we paskel? We brought three shitas right now. Shita number one is you need both. Even the gartol for davening is an obligation. Shita number two is you only need one. There's no concept number two. Shita number three is the regular belt is required. The second belt, the gartol, is a mitzvah, not a chova. So we pass it in Shulchan Aruch. If we turn the page, Shin Samach Beis, at the top where it says Tzarich, Shin Samach Beis, top right, third word in, Tzarich. Lazor Ezer B'shasa Tefila. Tzarech means it's an obligation. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, we are obligated. Afilu Yesh Lo Avnei Shein Libo Roesa Erva Misham Hikron. It is an obligation based on the Shulchan Aruch to required to have two belts. Aval Shar Brachos Muto Levarach Belo Chagor Mechar Sheyesh Lach Linus. When it comes to other brachas, we only, and also Kriyat Shema, we don't need the second belt, but Shmona Esrei, we're talking Shmona Esrei, Paskins of Shulchan Aruch, we are required to have a gartel. Have a good Shabbos. No, okay, so...
But your underpants and your belt would be two belts.
No. But when he's talking, because you have to look at the language, he's la'azor azor. Azor is an outer belt for dignity, l'kavalot yifaris. So what do we rely on? The Ramah does not disagree. When the Ramah doesn't disagree, he's agreeing. So the pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch is we are not a mitzvah. It's a chova. It's an obligation to have a gartel. It's a chova. Okay, so we're going to go through three different heterim now why we aren't obligated to have a gartel when we daven. The first one we've done already. So bottom right, Shin Samach Beis, bottom right, Betosus, B'Shabes, Yunam Anav, we've seen this already, Evi Masha Kasa, B'machso Vitri, the Mefarsh Datam, two lines from the bottom, Deba'in and Azur, Kedeshiye, Libo, Roes, Erva. That applied in the time with the Babylonians that they didn't have pants on. That's why they had to have a belt on. They needed to divide. Aval. We have a belt in our pants. That's what we've seen already. That's answer number one. That's not a fully satisfactory answer because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass in that way. How do we even explain? He wrote that. Okay, so that's good. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass in that way. So that's a cheat in the Rishonim, but that doesn't get us there. Okay, Svara number two is as follows. Bebeis right underneath it. Bebeis Yosef, left side. Second paragraph, Bebeis Yosef, Avi Mashakasa, Rabbeinu Yerucham. The Beis Yosef brings Rabbeinu Yerucham, Sheish Misha Kasav. There's an opinion. Shemisha Ragi Lachkor Kol Hayom. Somebody who always has an outer belt. If that person who always wears the belt during the day and he took it off, he is obligated to put it on for davening. You can't go the whole day with the belt and come davening not dressed down. You're dressing down. You wear a jacket the whole day, comes davening, you're taking it off because it's hot. You're dressing down for davening. It's a chutzpah. But that deen, according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, only applies to somebody who goes all day with that outer belt. You're obligated to have the outer belt. But somebody who doesn't go... We don't walk around with gartels all day long, so we wouldn't, based on Rabbeinu Yerucham, we would not be obligated to do it. Now the Nimukei Or HaChaim says that most Rishonim disagree with that. Most Rishonim are of the view that even if you don't normally wear a belt, a gartel, you still have to actively put it on for davening. And he brings, there's a story brought down by the Aruga Sabosim that he had one of his Talmidim that had just gotten married, and he sees this Talmid and he's not wearing a gartel for davening. He says, you're not allowed to daven, go out and buy a gartel. Not letting you daven until you buy a gartel. Doesn't matter if you don't normally wear a belt. You have to put it on actively. So we have two svaras, and both of them are not very strong. Svara number one was based on the concept there's only one belt, and we said, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin that way. Svara number two is the Rabbeinu Yerucham, that only this concept of the second belt only applies for people who always wear the second belt, so they also have to have it for davening. And the third svara is what's going to speak to all of us. us is Shin Samach Gimel, bottom right. Shin Samach Gimel, bottom right. Alkein Kasa Bihilchos Hagro Min Hagav. Hilchos Hagro Min Hagav is written by Rav Moshe Sternbuch. Rav Moshe Sternbuch wrote a number of beautiful svarim. His Chuvas Chuvas van Hagos, he wrote on Parsha, Tam Vidas, he wrote another thing on Parsha. And he wrote Hilchas Agra Umin Hagav. So he says he's Miyashev as follows. Alkein Kasa Bihilchas Agra Umin Hagav Liyashev Zas Ulanius Dato Hamin Agla Hakel Lekuli Om. It's always interesting when you say, and everyone will agree with this. Everyone, even the Machmir, even the Shulchan Aruch, would agree that nowadays we can be lenient on this. Should be, what's the difference? The difference is we wear different clothing nowadays. Shabiz Manam Lav Shu Beged Mi Pishtan Umeshi Kein Chalat Etzlenu, where they used to wear a robe. That was the normal. When you wear flowing long robe, shebazet top left, shebazet shaya chagora be'etzem abeged, part and parcel of the clothing is to have a sash, to have a belt. Behave bazet lekavu lekavars. That what makes the entire outer garment. My one of my daughters, my 3-year-old, has a very long and loose dress. It needs a belt. It needs a belt, or it's long, loose, and flowing, and it's all over the place. You need a belt to bring it together and look respectable.
But, hey, the women,
but we lost the belt.
But the women today, that so that when they say Kriya Shema, they say women today, they have our dress changed, he says. Correct. But the women's, that's
if, happy, if you know, robe, even then, I, if they're flowing, if they're no, flowing,
if Mana said they would need a belt.
They don't, because there's an anatomical difference.
I don't know women. I don't know. No, they have to have that. They we're talking of the second belt. Libo Roskarva for tefillah, absolute. It's manazel. We don't wear robes, so we can be lenient on the second belt, on the gartel.
But
do they have to have a gartel? I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. What's bothering me a little bit is this concept of hikon. I mean, apparently hikon means be properly prepared. If that's what's necessary to look like a mensch, even for women, maybe, I'm just not sure. It's a good question. Okay, so he continues, he says, Shabazet top left, Shabazet Shaykh Korbe etzema begit, that is part and parcel. That's not an additive. That's not an upsell. That's part of the clothing. Jump down 4 lines right after the period aval. Last word on the line aval etzlenu. Osam shalov shim begadim ketzarim. Those we have shorter clothing. Ketzarim shel tzemer or afilu arukim. Even if we're wearing the what do they call the bekesha, right? We're wearing the Rosh Hashiva's garb. Ein zehi duro lelov shel be'ezor. It's not required to look dignified to have a belt on it. We wouldn't say, oh, you need that belt, you're going to go visit the president, you need the belt on. You would dress, we have these normal jackets, right? We don't put it looks ridiculous to put a, well, okay, let me tone that down. It's not required, it's not part and parcel of the beged to wear. If we went to visit Obama, President Obama, we wouldn't wear a gartel. That's not part of it.
Except if you were robotic.
Assuming we would go visit, accept the invitation. The name of Shlif Nemela, Ella Bibagati Melu Ain Hidur Be'ezor, Vein Sorch Bekach, Medina Lekole. No one would say that you require with this clothing. So that's Rav Sternbach gives a clear, and I think it's a very reasonable heter why nowadays this whole concept of Gartel doesn't apply because our clothing is different. The Gartel isn't Lekavon Lutifaris for our clothing. It's not.
That's the main heter.
That's right. Okay, so let's get to tying up a few ends here. So just to get back to Kriyat Shema and Shar Brachos, Kipshuto, we've said even according to the Shulchan Aruch and those who are who pass into Machmir that we need a double belt, a double covering. We need a double belt that applies Kipshuto only to Shmoneh Esrei, not even all of davening. It's a din of Shmoneh Esrei. It doesn't apply for Kriyat Shema. It doesn't apply to other brachos. Shin Samach Dalet. Shin Samach Dalet, bottom left where it says Ulam. Shin Samach Dalet, bottom left, Ulam Ayin Minag Yisrael Torah. Minag Yisrael Torah, beautiful work by, written by a chassid in Borough Park. Shekasav shechassidim v'anshei ma'isa. Chassidim and anshei ma'isa nohagim lazor b'chagora. They are knowing to put on a gartel, the second layer. Gam l'shar tfilos, all, not only Shemoneh Esrei, all the davening of Bakashos, v'gam lifnei kol dvar mitzvah. And for every mitzvah, they will wear their gartel. And what's the concept? The concept is, even though we brought three reasons. Reason number one of Hikon only applies to Shemoneh Esrei. Reason number two of the Levush being more of a Zaris, that the Minhag Yisrael Torah says applies to all mitzvahs. We should be appear as Rizus, having alacrity in our mitzvahs that should apply across the board to all mitzvahs. It's Lav Davka. It's Lav Davka for the Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, three more short questions. Question number one is, if somebody daven without a bottom layer, in other words, his lev was roa es ha'erva, are you yotzei the Shemoneh Esrei? So the Mishnah Berurah says, no, it's me'akev. It's, we are not able, if we didn't have a barrier between the lev and the erva, we do not fulfill the Shemoneh Esrei, we'd have to daven over. And he says the same thing for Kriyat Shema. You'd have to say the Kriyat Shema and his brachas over if the lev was roa et erva. You didn't have the barrier. Other brachos is unclear, so we would probably be makel on it. But the Chai Adam says even for Shemoneh Esrei, as long as it's a derabanan, we would be, which it is, we would be lenient across the board if it wasn't libo roa et erva. But in the Mishnah Berurah that says we're required to have libo roa et erva, how does the Mishnah Berurah paskin when it comes to agartel? We saw the Shulchan Aruch as machmir. You need both layers according to the Shulchan Aruch. How about the Mishnah Berurah? Shin Samech Hey, second big paragraph down where it says, Va'ayin b'Mishnah Berurah. Shin Samech Hey left side. Second paragraph from the top, Va'ayin b'Mishnah Berurah. Shekasev debidiyevet. Im hispala below ezor yatsa. What does that mean? If you davened without a gartel, that is, you are yotzi. In other words, you should have a gartel according to the Mishnah Berurah right now, but if you didn't have a gartel on, you still fulfill the Shemoneh Esrei. The Yesh Omrim, however, he says there is an opinion. Oh, the Davka Misharagil Kol Ayom B'Chagora. This whole thing applies only that you have to have a chagora gartel for somebody who always wears a gartel during the day. Then don't dress down for Shemoneh Esrei. That's the person who's required. But somebody who never wears a gartel, the Mishnah Berurah says you wouldn't require to have a gartel. However, Mihu Midas Chasidus Apakai Gavna. He does say even in this opinion, the Rabbeinu Yerucham that we saw before, that it's per somebody who never wears a gartel, there's no obligation, there would still be a midas chasidus to wear the gartel. Okay, last question that we have is a very interesting question. It's going to be short, but very interesting. Do I need to have a day, if it's the concept of hikon, is hikon? Oh, before I forget, by the way, an hour for those of us who don't wear gartels, one proper hikon, proper thing to do, because this plays into this, is to button our jacket right before the Shemoneh Esrei. That looks, makes you more put together. More, it's not that the jacket is flapping here and there. That's my hikon. That's my hikon. And I do it right before Shemoneh Esrei, not at the beginning of davening, right before Shemoneh Esrei, right before Hashem is Fasai. Button my jacket, and that is my hikon, because of the Kach Yisrael. I don't have a gartel, but that is part of the beged. That's part of the clothing. That's a proper achana to make us look more presented when we're greeting the king.
Washing your hands.
That's a different team. No, that's a different team. It's not.
The keys, but even if the hands are in the king, not me anyway. But he doesn't.
That's discussed. We'll have a shir on it. But it's not mitin hikon. It's not mitin hikon.
We didn't cover that. Then you have to wear a jacket for davening.
No.
And you just threw it.
No, we didn't. You're right. Enachinami. That's another topic. Yes. 100%. If you're wearing the jacket,
if you
wear it to meet people that you're meeting for in business, put it on for davening. Okay, so the Nimuke Or Chaim says, we're on Shin Samachai, bottom left. The Nimuke Or Chaim, second paragraph up. Nimuke Or Chaim, huva diskeinu hagon, the Baal B'nei Yisachar, lavash chagora miuchedis letfila rak b'es atfila. He would put on a special gartel only for davening to fulfill the mitzvah hikon. In other words, if he had a bekesha, and the bekesha, part of the bekesha was that he had a belt in it, that wasn't sufficient because that's something that wasn't special for davening. So you would put on a special belt for davening that was only designated for davening. Because then he saw, this is part of my achana. This is my din and hikon. I'm preparing especially. But if you just wear a piece of clothing, a bekesha, that has a belt in it, he says that wasn't sufficient to fulfill the mitzvah of hikon. You need something in addition to it, because that's my hachana, that's my preparation for Shmoneh Esrei. But then he says that that's really just a midas chasidus. Mikar din, we're not machmir, not even chasidim, we're bekeshas. They're not putting on a special second gartel, whatever belt they have, if they have one, that would be sufficient. Okay, let me recap real quickly. Our topic has been the gartel for davening, and the fundamental question we said is, there's an obligation that lev not roa es ha'erva, that we need a physical barrier between the upper body and the lower body. For example, underwear, elastic, pants, the belt that we have in our pants. Does a gartel, quote-unquote a gartel, require us to have a second layer belt, or is it the same din? And we brought that it's actually a three-way machlokas. The first opinion is we have two dinim. We have two requirements. A regular belt that fulfills the purpose of the lev isn't roes erva, and we need a second. So says the Mordechai, and this is how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, that we need a second belt that acts as the gartel to fulfill hikon. We saw a second opinion. No, you only need one belt. Between the two, it fulfills both purposes. So only that's the belt, that's the divider. It doesn't need to be an outer belt. And we saw a third opinion that it's a requirement to have the first belt and a mitzvah, but not an obligation to have the outer belt. As I mentioned, Shulchan Aruch Paskin, we're machmir, they're both an obligation. Mishneh Berurah came and said there's an opinion that that's only somebody who wears the outer gartel all day long that you have to have the gartel. But if not, we can be lenient. Nonetheless, he said it's a midas chasidus even in that, to have the gartel. But very important was Rav Sternbach, who said this all applied at the time that they had different clothing, that the clothing was more free-flowing, and part of the clothing itself was to gather it together and have a gartel. However, nowadays that we have more form-fitting clothing, even if it's a long cloak, but it's form-fitting, it doesn't require a belt to make it look dignified, there would be, according to everyone, no obligation to wear a gartel.
Okay,
so what? So he's consistent then. Okay, quick for it on Parsha. This week's Parsha, as we said, we have the Big Day Kahuna. One of the Big Day Kahuna is the Me'il. Now, on the edge of the Me'il is the bells and whistles. No, bells and pomegranates, right? So bells and pomegranates. So the purpose, each of the Big Day Kahuna had a different purpose. The purpose of the bells was to make an announcement that I'm here, the Kohen Gadol, to himself, to the whole world, I'm coming into the Kodesh Kodashim. People knew every step he took. And the Musa L'Haskel on that, from learning from the Kohen Gadol, and for us also, every step we take can have an impact, can be seen, can have an influence on someone. Every step, just like the Kohen Gadol, everyone knew every step he took. So too with us in our life, every step we take and can have an impact. So there's a story from Ben Brofman, as I said, a great story. Ben Brofman is a very respected criminal defense attorney, and there was one time he was representing a rapper, Puff Daddy. Puff Daddy. Beznish. So he was in a knifing or a shooting or whatever it was, a Beznish, and very intense trial. And it ends with a very positive decision in Puff Daddy's favor, in the rapper's favor, Friday afternoon. Ben Brofman comes out, it's early Shabbos, and it's around 2 o'clock, and he's in Manhattan, and he's got to get to Yuppiesville, wherever it is, that we're through all the traffic. So and he knew when he comes out, there are going to be hundreds of reporters there. This was the spectacle of the reporters. So he said, I can't spend time, I got to go. So he said, I gotta make a Kiddush Hashem. I can't just, people know I'm the Jew lawyer. I can't just brush everyone off. So he gets out and he gets to the podium outside, on the steps of the court, hundreds of people, reporters. And he says as follows: at the end of the Super Bowl, there's the winning quarterback makes a statement. This quarterback is now going to Disneyland. I'm very happy for my client. This quarterback is no going to synagogue. The Sabbath is starting soon. And with that, he gets in the car and he takes off. And so many people, he said hundreds of people after that came up to him and said that he made their lives so much easier, leaving work on time because of that one statement that he made. That one statement had such a major influence all over the place. So that's an important thing, that anything, it doesn't only have to apply to Ben Brahman, anything we can do, any encounter that we have can have an impact on somebody. So Professor Yitzhak Aaron emailed me, and he told me the following story. Professor Wolf knows him, but he's not here right now. He says that he remembers 50 years ago as a child growing up in Cologne, Germany, that a non-Jewish man bumped into their car. There was a scratch on the car. That's it. And Professor Aaron's father said, don't worry about it. Forget it. It's not a problem. And this non-Jewish man, he said he actually remembers who it was, the brother of then well-known Catholic theologian Robert Grosch. He remembers the street it was on. It was on Ring Street. He just bumped into the car. No damage. And Professor Aaron's father said, don't worry about it. And this non-Jewish man insisted on replacing the bumper. And he called a number of times until Professor Aaron's father said, fine, okay, I'll replace the bumper, you can pay for it. And based on that, Professor Aaron remembered every step you take can have an impact, that any little damage you cause somebody, you should pay for it. Any damage, anything. And unfortunately, that's not something that's commonly adhered to in Israel, where we viewed our cars as bumper cars, and it's not a big deal. The common reaction, I think, the common reaction when you get hit by someone is that they scream at you and say, klum kara, klum kara, klum kara, but that's not what we learn. Every step has an impact, and if we call what Professor Aaron learned 50 years ago, when you hit somebody's car, even the smallest damage, you got to at least offer that you're going to fix the car and not say klum kara. Have a good Shabbos. Nothing happened. Klum kara.